we're recording.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip. And today on the show, later on the show, Tammy, who are we going to hear from? I'll tell you.
I'm like, usually you tell me.
We are going to hear from Majda Anwar. I interviewed her several months ago at TribalCon. And yes. She is full of insights and Arabic words and awesomeness and smart, profound things. So I am really excited.
I like that she's full of Arabic words.
Yes.
She ate them for dinner. They were delicious.
That's the spicy meatball. That wasn't Arabic. I don't know what I did. So before we get to her, of course, we're going to talk about us and stuff we're reading online because we're very self-centered.
Well, it's not really us. I mean, it's stuff we happen to be reading, so it's not really our words, right? Right? Somebody else is reading this. We're not the only ones.
Moving on. So, Tammy, what's going on with you?
Well, couple things. We got some tribe topics I'm going to cover, and then two blog posts, so yay. So, tribe, I know we haven't talked about tribe in a while, right? We haven't for a little bit.
No. Well, like, the last couple of times I was on, it just seemed like not much was going on. And then I, like, wasn't on for a couple of weeks. And
I think that's the problem with Tribe. If you're on too often, you don't get any activity. But when you're gone a long time, that it's so much activity, it's overwhelming.
I think maybe, like, 3 days is the magic number. Like, if you checked on every third day, I'm gonna try that.
Okay.
I'm probably going to try that. I'll probably forget. But I'm going to try it. Maybe. We know if it happens. Please save me.
I'll text you every third day and be like, have you checked Rod today? I'll put it on my calendar as a reminder. Oh my goodness. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to talk about on Tribe is on the Belly Dance Health, Fitness, and Anatomy Tribe. They have a topic on there called laybacks and neck pain. So somebody posted they're having a problem with neck pain when they do laybacks. And they've been doing yoga for, she says, most of her life. So I don't know if she started as a small child and grew up
doing
yoga.
7 years.
Yeah.
She's 11.
Since she's been doing backbends and yoga, she knows that her legs and her core are strong enough to support her movement, but she can't find a comfortable position. And so she's asking people, like, does anybody else feel neck strain? And so people are trying to do suggestions or give her suggestions, but they really are asking her to post a picture, and I guess she's going to do that soon enough. So by the time you read this, maybe she'll have a picture posted. So we can all see what her layback looks like. And then be like,
so
oh,
voyeuristic.
I totally am. I want to see it. Show me. Anyway. So, you know, they ask typical questions. Is your neck warmed up? You know, not your shoulders and your arms, but is your neck warmed up? Are you lengthening your neck? You know, when, and they're giving like all these suggestions, right? So I'm waiting to see a picture of it because, granted, I have a lot of problems with laybacks. Neck strain is possibly one of them. So I'd like to see like what she's doing.
You know, I think I have the answer to this problem, Tammy.
You do? I'm going to post it right now. Go ahead.
I know the answer. Here's the answer. You know, like when you put your hair up in fluffy buns for tribal and you put a bunch of hair sticks in it and then you lean your head back because you feel like someone's on the ceiling watching you and you realize that your hair sticks have poked through too far and they jab you in the back of the neck. Maybe that's her problem.
She's just got a lot of hair sticks.
Stop wearing your hair sticks when you're doing yoga.
I think that's the weird thing about this post is if she doesn't have a problem in yoga doing them, what is she doing differently? Yeah, and you want to know the saddest thing about this post? When she does her photo shoot with her friend to get this picture, her photo shoot, sorry, I use the term very loosely. When her friend takes a picture of her to post up on this thread, I don't know why I said photo shoot. She's like, you know, my friend doesn't have dial-up. So that's really the sad part is she has dial-up. Okay. So anyway. The first blog post I'm going to talk about is by our friend Retro Callie.
Retro Cali.
She posted a blog because she's pregnant, which we mentioned in one of our prior episodes. Mm-hmm. Her blog post was called When a Solo Dance Becomes a Tango. But she talks about different things like, you know, you feel that you can feel the life inside of you. She says, you know, that person on some level, and it's an epitome of two heads are better than one. So that's true. And then she talked about Tempest had a post a while back about finding inspiration. And she says, you know, when she's pregnant, that's the last thing she needs. She doesn't need to find inspiration. It's constantly around her, within her reach. And the movements for her seem right on a primal level. And just like all this positive stuff. So I just wanted to talk about her blog post because I was just so happy to read her being so positive. I don't know. I was just happy for her.
Definitely. So. Definitely.
For me, it was very sentimental just because I was pregnant and belly dancing, and I understood a lot of what she was saying, and it was like, aw, I remember that. Now it's just me and my belly and my little tattoo girl. Maybe that's why I got her on my belly, because I'm like, well, I'm not being pregnant anymore, so.
This is close as I'm going to get.
Exactly. The last blog post I'm going to talk about is Tempest. Not quite the same post. She's been posting a lot lately about inspiration, finding inspiration, gathering muses. And that's the one I'm going to talk about, is gathering muses. She says she's often asked where her inspiration come from and what inspires her. And her answer is everything. Anything can inspire her. She's also like an artist. Like, she does sketches and drawings and that kind of artwork as well. So she's inspired on many different levels for whatever piece. But I thought what was interesting is she was saying that no matter what inspires you, always hold on to that, because maybe it can't be inspiration for what you want to work on right now, but it could be inspiration for 6 months down the road, 3 years from now. So you want to hold on, even if it's like a photograph or something like that, to keep that somewhere. She says her office is full of pictures all over the walls, and it's all been her inspirations over the years. And so sometimes some of those may come down and she just files them away and she puts new inspiration pieces up. And I thought that was a really good idea. My favorite line in her blog post is, "The muses, they're slutty. And trust me, they will get the idea out there somewhere, somehow, if you don't do it for yourself." And I was just like, whoa. And she also has some favorite online places to look for different inspirational ideas. She's right, you know, I personally get inspired by different things, and it could be like a movie, it could be just an emotion I was feeling because of an incident. And if I don't capture that, which I haven't been, you know, I don't capture that emotion somewhere, I don't write it down, I don't take a picture of, you know, an object, if I see something online, I don't save that anywhere. And so months from now, when I'm looking for inspiration for something, I don't have any readily available. And if I start collecting and saving that in some kind of format, whether it's a journal of some sort, bookmarks online or something like that, then I would have that readily available at any given time, you know?
Yeah. Who was that? There's somebody we talked about before that's recommended doing a dance journal. Who was that? Pull that name out of your memory, Tammy.
My memory, my bum memory. Like,
what? In what? Never mind. But I know we've talked about somebody who recommends doing dance journaling before. I've always wanted to be like one of those people that journals and like has like a beautiful diary with like, you know, pictures taped haphazardly in, but it looks really cool, and like little poetry and like you know
if you've seen scrapbookish this, but right? Not
yeah, but like cooler. But I can't do it. I have no attention span. I keep forgetting to write in it, and then like, you know, I feel so pretentious when I'm trying to write some of this stuff. Either I don't have enough depth or I have too much depth. I'm in that magical place where I don't really have anything profound to say, and I'm not flaky enough to not realize that I'm not being, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just too average, I think. It's sad.
Well, yeah, and it's hard to keep up on something like that. So that's why I kind of like that, you know, especially when an inspiration is something physical, you know, just take a picture of it. For me, now that I have like my phone that I actually have a very nice camera on, I carry it with me everywhere. So if I see something, I should just take a picture of it and then just upload it to like my photo bucket or whatever. Because I'm the same way. Like, journaling to me is very difficult to do. I enjoy it a lot, actually. I really like when I can get down to writing something, I very much enjoy it. But it's almost having that discipline to do it, and yeah. I don't have it. That was that. So what's going on with you, Mary?
Well, I'm going to start with Tribe, since you start with Tribe, and we start with Tribe, and it's just one of our kind of things that we do. I'm going to start, first of all, with your smartphone, because you brought it up, and it segues nicely into one of the topics I was going to discuss, and that is, what are some things, oh, listeners of Yip, that you use your smartphone for that benefits your dancing? I don't have a smartphone. I don't feel extreme urge to get a smartphone, but I probably will once my current phone dies. But I'm too frugal to like be, oh, screw it, I'm going to go get a smartphone because it's so shiny.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened to me. You know that.
Exactly.
Because we had the same phone.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to hold this baby forever.
I know. I have a cute phone.
Yeah.
Don't pity me. I don't need your pity. You know what? Fine.
Dude, I had that phone. I don't pity you.
Whatever. I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, okay.
It
felt like it was directed at me. Oh my God, Mary. Are we breaking up?
No.
Okay, good.
We still owe each other money.
And that will always keep us together.
So you've talked about using your phone to mm-hmm. snap pictures of inspirational things that you see on the street, you know, a la Project Runway on those times. And they're like, go out into the city and take a picture of something that inspires you and then make an outfit. And you're like, oh my gosh, that does not look like what they snapped a picture of.
Whatever.
But so that is something that Tammy uses her smartphone for. So what are some things that you can use it to help your dancing? Any suggestions, Tammy?
I think what has been helpful for me, at least, has been music. Not so much apps that I have, although that has been helpful. I have an app that, and I'm sure most people have these apps, that you can click on it when music starts, and it will tell you the name, the title, and the artist.
That is cool.
So it's pretty awesome. Sometimes I forget I have it, and then I'm like, crap, what was that? And then I was like, oh, I have that app. I just need to press, like, literally,
God,
you just press a button, and it just has this little circle, and it says, oh, here's the artist in the title. It's like,
that
oh.
is trippy.
Plus, you can watch videos, so that's always nice.
Yeah, research on YouTube helps us benefit the dance. Well, that's a topic that came up on the Sheer.net tribe, and Sheer was just talking about. I think one of the biggest things was that she was like, it's nice to use the GPS and find out where I'm supposed to be going to dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I was just curious. So out there in La La Land, or wherever you are, I don't know where is La La Land? Have you lived there, or if you live somewhere else? What do you guys use your smartphones for? Are there any cool apps that we are missing out on?
I know Maheen that does a daily Billy Dance Quick. I haven't downloaded these apps, but she put two apps in her... one of her Friday bags, the Friday grab bag mm-hmm. emails. One of them she actually didn't even recommend.
Oh, dear.
It's a belly dance combo generator for beginners. And so it's supposed to, it says tap the open screen and it gives you a list of four moves with times two or times four after each. What does this mean? For two counts, do it twice. This doesn't make sense often. Two back bends in a row. We know movement names.
Back bend, three, four.
And then
back bend,
exactly.
Three, four.
Exactly. And then her other point was, you know, we all know that names, like the names of movements are all over the board.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't
Not
like the combo
standard.
You got and you want to spin again. You have to quit and start it over. And the fact that the price is $1.99, and if you're like me, you like free apps, and you don't want to pay for them, so it's not worth it in her opinion, but she gives the link anyway, because maybe somebody might like it. And the other one I did want to download, because it was free, is this thing called Tabla, and it's get a drum and a belly dancer on your phone. Tap on the drum and the belly dancer will dance with the beat. So the screen has a large image of a drum head with a little dancer up in the corner. Let me guess, a drummer designed this. By tapping different parts of the drum head, you get Doom Tech and four different flourishes, such as rolls. The dancer follows along to your playing. It's pretty cool and fun. Okay, I'm easily amused. I wouldn't say it's useful, but it makes me smile.
Thank you, Maheen.
And it's free. I mean, so, you know, that's what I like about free apps. Like, I can download them. And then if I don't like them, I just take them off my phone. Go. Okay, so a minute into the future, I have downloaded the tablet app and it is awesome. This will be hours of entertainment for me. So anyway.
Oh my gosh, look at her go.
So see, fun belly dance things with your smartphone, Mary. There you go.
Future in the future. That's pretty awesome. Okay, in other tribe news, I went on to the ATS tribe. And there was a thread asking, what troops inspire you? And I was looking up a couple of them. There are quite a few that I had never heard of before. So I'm going to read off a list of people that I have never heard of before. I'm so ignorant in my own little corner of the world. And you will tell me if you have heard of them either.
Are you ready? Me? Are you telling the audience to email you?
I mean, I do talk to the audience, but it's not that interactive of a show.
Okay.
Immediate gratification. Here we go. Tamarin Tribal.
I feel like I've seen the name, but I don't.
You know what? Yes or no, Tammy?
No.
Okay, thank you. Persephone Dance Company.
No, but I love that name.
I know, pretty, right? And these, again, are all ones that I did not recognize, so don't feel bad if you don't recognize them either. Silver Wolf Clan.
No.
Red Lotus.
Yes.
Ah, curses. Ujbaba Tribal.
No.
They're out of Russia. Gwazi Caravan. It's hard to tell because there's so many Gwazis.
Wait, was that a name generator?
No.
I'm going to say no just to be safe. Okay. But.
And the last one was, I think, Caravana Tribale. They're out of Italy. So I probably pronounced that wrong. Okay, awesome. We're pretty much on the same page then. Sweet. I've decided to look up some of these fantastic companies. Today, our ATS is cool troop of the episode is going to be Persephone Dance Company.
Nice.
So, Persephone Dance Company, what a group of fantastic people. I was watching a couple of their videos on YouTube, and the one that I really liked, you have to go watch it, not this second, Tammy, but like after we're done recording, is from Tribal Fest 10, and there were three dancers, Stephanie, Natalia, and Sean, and they had a live drummer named Ray Dowler. Dancing with the live drummer.
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so awesome things about this troupe. Number one, they all look super cute. Number two, they do some wicked awesome floor work. Oh my gosh. They do this, they do Turkish drops like in their dance.
Really?
And this is Turkish drops like, I don't know if you guys remember like way back when, or maybe she didn't say this, but Lisa Myers, who was on the podcast many moons ago before she went off to hike the Appalachian Trail, talked about how people often call any drop a Turkish drop, but an actual Turkish drop, she said, is when you're spinning and you drop from a spin. Ba-pow, like ba-bam, like, oh, that looks painful if you don't do it right. They did this thing and they're doing these calibrated spins and then just foomp, all three of them just like bam, right there.
Oh my gosh.
It was so awesome. I was like, what?
No, Mary.
Yeah. And then they did that cool thing that's like that I've actually only seen Fat Chance do. Again, any of these multitude of improv troops may do it as well, but the only video that I've seen of a troop doing really awesome floor work in ATS is Fat Chance. Remember that one video where there was three of them in a row and they did the big laybacky things and like the sort of swoopy woo, and it was just in the big like that thing?
You guys know what she's talking about.
You totally know what I'm talking about,
and
right?
And then the thing and then the
I'll try to find that video. But they did that. You know, it's kind of like you're doing a torso rotation, except you're like on the floor and you just big this lay back and then you snake up and you're like, oh my gosh, their core muscles must be amazing. So they did a lot of cool level changes, you know, going from spins into a quick level change and then coming back up again. Unbelievable laybacks. Like this one girl on the video that we're gonna link to, she was the most petite of the three dancers. And when they did this layback, it looked like they just broke her and folded her in half. She's like hardcore 90 degree angle. I was like, oh geez, she's a robot. They were so tight. They were so clean. One of the girls did a balancing sword on her head solo, which was awesome. And they have some really cute combos that I've never seen before. I might drop them an email and see if they don't mind sharing. Give me Jackson New York combos.
Near you.
Anyway, wait till you see. They're totally cute.
Well, and you know what's good is, like, this is a list of people that inspire others, so I'm excited to hear about the other groups as well.
There are three people that performed in this particular Persephone dance company video. There are three people in Crackpot Tribal.
I was going to say, well, we don't
inspire anybody
yet.
I'm just saying. We have so much in common. Crackpot Tribal has an E in it. Persephone has an E in it.
We're getting so close.
We're practically like their East Coast doppelganger. They could be us, like in a different dimension of us.
Whoa.
They're in really good shape.
Bizarro crackpot.
And we can't do laybacks like that. And we can't do Trucker's Drops. But maybe they're us 5 years in the future. So if you were like us and you haven't heard of Persephone Dance Company, you should look them up. Really inspirational. Totally. Okay, really quick. A couple quick blog things. There was a blog posted recently on Double Take Belly Dance, Shay Moore's blog out in Seattle, Washington. And it was actually a review that was written by a woman named Rebecca who had taken a hair and makeup workshop with Shay. So Shay posted her review on
her own blog.
Shay posted Rebecca's review on her, you know what I mean. I'm using too many hers. I can't figure out who I'm attaching to, but you know what I mean. It was a really good workshop review. Like, there were a couple things in it that were like total duh. Why didn't I think of that? That's a good thing to think about. For instance, Tammy.
Yes, Mary.
When you are decorating your hair, you should put your fanciest hair pieces on the right side of your head, since most of the time you're at performance angle and the audience sees the right side of your head. Like, duh. I don't think I ever consciously thought that.
Everything ends up at the back of my head. I don't know if I just think I'm good at face, like my back to face the audience.
You're just ready to leave.
Well, you know what's funny is, I mean, I tend to favor my right side anyway, so I do tend to put a lot more things on my...
See, I think I put more stuff on the left side of my head, and I don't know what that is. And now that I'm consciously thinking about it, I will know to focus my bits and bobbles on the right side of my head.
But Shay is just like, she thinks of that stuff. She thinks in terms of pictures and images and what the audience sees. She's just really good at that stuff.
I know. She's really nice, too.
She totally is. It's
totally really nice. So read that review if you get a second. That's a really good review. There are some pretty pictures. And thank you to Rebecca for doing such an awesome review and sharing it with the world. And the last blog that I'm going to touch on is called The Belly Dance Blog. Simple, elegant, to the point. And it's by this lady, Alexandra. So the title of this particular post was called A Bit of Confusion.
I read this.
I liked this post because it was kind of like a peek into my own brain. You know, where you're kind of arguing with yourself about how you feel about a topic. And you haven't quite made up your mind. And then you make up your mind and then you think of something else. And you're like, well, that's not going to work. And you change your mind, like, constantly. And she's just talking about her feelings on fusion and her feelings on the people that want to keep the dance pure. And how there are some kinds of fusions she doesn't like, but there's some kind of fusions that she doesn't think are wrong. And how labeling is working and how if she likes labeling or if she doesn't like labeling. And at the beginning, she says just like, look, this is more like an internal monologue.
Yeah.
So it's not really...
It's not geared toward anybody specific. No.
So don't take offense, everybody. It's just, you know, some people like to think out loud and some people like to think on blogs. So I really enjoyed it just because I'm glad I'm not the only one who waffles occasionally on things. There are others out there.
There are others out there. Take a stand, Mary. Take a stand.
I can't. I'm sorry.
I just don't like bad dancing. Can we just make that something? Like, I just don't like bad dancing.
I don't like how you label things, Tammy. Bad, good. It's all an opinion, isn't it?
Exactly. And in my opinion, I don't like bad dancing.
I don't appreciate your tone.
Are we breaking up, Mary?
Oh my gosh. What is with you tonight? Don't you love me?
I'm having clinging issues today.
So, I enjoyed reading it. It was very interesting. Makes you think. It's a thinking post. Or maybe it'll make you mad. I don't know. I'm not you. I don't know how you process information.
How do you process information, people out there? Talk to me.
And I think that's all the drivel that I have to go on and on and on and on and on about today. You know, what's interesting, this is jumping ahead a little bit since we haven't done our first music review, but what's interesting, since we're speaking about this particular blog post, is that Majda talks a little bit about how she feels about labeling the dance form in her interview, which is coming up in just a few moments.
Hey, awesome. Hey.
So don't touch that dial.
Ah, morning radio. Here we go.
I know,
come.
It's funny because like 10 years, no one's going to understand that sentence.
Yeah.
Don't touch that dial. Fine, I'll just DVR it. I'll just use my mind powers. I'll just use the computer that's been plugged into my brain, like the Matrix.
I don't have any TV that has a dial anymore.
I have a dial on my TV, but it's a really old TV.
Well, and I guess if we're talking about radios, that would be different anyway, because you do have a dial for radio.
Radios still have a dial. I guess if we're talking radio, that still kind of makes sense, because people don't DVR radio, do they?
No, but a lot of people listen to radio over the internet now.
That's true. I mean, I download almost everything that I listen to. It's mainly NPR stuff, because I'm really snobby.
Okay, hey, do you have music for us or what?
I totally do. Oh my gosh. So here's the story of our music today, Tammy. Are you sitting down? I know you're sitting down. You're right there.
I'm very confused by your question.
It's not that shocking. I just like to be dramatic. I like to add some drama, some flair, if you will, to the Ho-Hum podcast. Sorry I said that. Don't be mad. Are we breaking up? Are you mad?
Are you angry with me?
I said I was sorry.
Oh my god.
Okay, so I was reading a post a couple weeks ago on the Tribal Pilgrims blog, which is the blog of Sakura Tribal, which consists of three of our listeners. One of them is a doll, but don't tell her that. She's sensitive. Two of them are Kate and Sarah, and then Tribal Jane is their official mascot. I was reading the blog post by Kate, and she had been at a performance situation, a gig, if you will, and she danced with some other people, and there was a band there called Arcomnia. And you know, I'm always on the lookout for new music because that's just what I do.
Yeah.
And Kate was waxing very enthusiastic about how awesome this band was. And so I was like, that sounds awesome. I totally want to check out this band. So I went to a couple of the sites that have their music on them, and there were all these places where you could hear their music or preview their music, but there was no place to download it. And I'm such a download junkie. I went on iTunes, and they have one song on iTunes. One. Kate hooked me up with the page on Facebook, and I started talking to a couple of the band members. And long story short, or too late. What's that clue? I'm too late. I bought both the albums via PayPal, and the band shipped them out, and I got them within a week. It was like really fast. It was interesting because I was trying to find out if they had an online store or something, because as we grow more web reliant, slowly our social skills are devolving into that of the eight people.
Yes.
And so I didn't really want to talk to anybody.
That's exactly how I feel.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to pursue every avenue of onlineness before I actually instigate a conversation. So I found their website, and their website was for a piano and didgeridoo store in the UK. And I couldn't figure out how to buy them on the site. It was like one CD is £6. And I was like, oh. They translated their prices, and I got both CDs for $23.50, and that included shipping. Awesome.
Nice.
Deal. Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. So today is going to be sort of our Arcomnia focus thing, because they have two CDs. We have two music spotlights, and they're going to be both of them because I'm so in love with this band. They are so cool. So we are going to do their CDs in chronological order. So for this particular music spotlight, we're going to talk about their self-titled debut CD, Arcomnia, by Arcomnia. What I love about having to buy physical CDs, which I've kind of missed, is that you don't get the notes anymore. So with the Arcomnia albums, they have these like little facts about each song and the style of music and where the melodic lines came from or where they're adapted from, or are they Lebanese or are they, you know, Gregorian chant influence and all kinds of cool stuff. If like you're a music nerd and you're into like modes and that kind of thing, sometimes they talk about the modes, which I haven't talked about modes since college, so it's all very rusty, but I definitely recommend you purchase them, support a great band on an independent label.
That's positive. Awesome.
You know, furthering great musicians. It's quick and easy. We're going to post one of the band members' email address on our blog, and you can just send him $23.50 for both CDs and, you know, put your address in and be like, what? Send me your CDs, cool band. And he will send them to you. They came super, super fast in the mail. So there you go. The three songs we're going to hear are Kyrie, Andro, and Sama. So there you go, the first album by Arcomnia.
Tammy.
What?
I forgot to talk about something.
Oh, crap. What'd you forget to talk about?
Oh, my gosh. I'll make it quick.
You better.
I just wanted to mention really, really fast that I went down to the Lotus Studio event, Tribal Solstice.
That's right.
I know, I totally forgot to talk to you about this. And I got an interview with Anasma, who's like super nice. I also got to jump in with a friend of mine on Facebook, Sunshine. Her troupe was practicing like the Friday that I was down there, and they said I could come and jump in on their practice. It was so much fun. This is why I love ATS, Tammy. You just jump in. And you just jump in. It was just lovely. So thank you to Sunshine and the troop leader, Lee, and my friend, Kathleen. It was so much fun. And Sunshine's girlfriend, Tara, also gave me these two rings, which are super cute. So thanks, Tara. It was just a lovely little adventure. It was so nice of them to let me come and play with them. So I just wanted to say thank you. So you know what, Tammy? Enough drivel.
Okay, I'll stop.
All you do is talk. We never get anything done. Let's get to the interview, Tammy. So, again, as I previously stated at the beginning of the episode, I interviewed Majda Anwar. She's a phenomenal dancer, fantastic performer, great musician, and you are going to really enjoy this interview. We are here with Majda Anwar, who has danced solo work, who is a teacher, and who also performs with OLM. Mm-hmm. How have you been enjoying the workshops so far?
From what I can go to, it's been great.
And I love that you have the full live music show on Fridays now. Oh, I thought that was amazing.
That was the highlight of my TribalCon. We were, you know, there's a group of us around the Southeast that have been playing together for a little while. Mm-hmm. We call ourselves the Day Late and Dollar Orchestra. And, you know, we're a pickup band, right? So, you know, that's comprised of basically anyone who can get together. And there's been a core of us who've been able to come around and do tunes. And it's gotten to the point where we said, I think we can handle a live music show this year, especially with having Al Cochran, amazing musician. Uh-huh. He's just been a great, great add to the mix. And what's great about it is that next year when we do this, we have a complete song list, so hopefully we'll have more dancers participate in the live music show. Thera, Kathif, Awalem, various members, Ansa, have all been going to Penzig for many, many years, and I feel really lucky to have been a part of that because, you know, August basically made me pick up my violin and play, and I refused. And then he said, "No, we're not doing anything else until you solo." So I picked up my violin after a 5-year hiatus and played, and I just haven't stopped playing since. So very grateful to August for that. He's an enabler. Yes, you are, August. You are an enabler.
You've been belly dancing for quite a while. You come from a family from the Middle East.
I do. My father's side of the family is Jordanian, and one of the larger Christian Arab families in Jordan. We're from Sult, which is a small city outside of Amman, which is the capital. Mm-hmm. You know, belly dance in its origins really is a social dance. I learned to belly dance just going to parties and that whole social, cultural aspect of it, you know. My aunts would come over, my cousins would come over, yalla, Magda's time to dance, you know, and like, their shoulders would start shaking, and we'd have, like, Abd al-Halim Hafez on, or Umm Kulthum, or Amr Diab, you know, whatever, and we would just start dancing, and that's when I was, you know, 5-6 years old. My father had a belly dance DVD, Tri-Tel Knife Volume 2, which for you cabaret nerds out there know exactly the video I'm talking about. The great stars of the Egyptian era, like from the 60s, 70s, Najwa Fuad, Seher Hezeki, I think Mona Said is on there. These are all dancers. Nadia Gamal was on there as well. And so I watched them just from a very small age, and I'd be like, oh, wow, you know, the dancers. And so I would just kind of mimic what they did. And then when I was, like, 11, I started to actually take lessons, you know, and actually control what my body was doing as opposed to just kind of free-form social dance. So,
if pressed, would you be able to classify your dance as leaning more towards one particular style of dance?
I hate classification. I am Arab. I dance with an Arab style. I dance in a quote-unquote tribal fusion belly dance company. I dance quote-unquote cabaret, which I have a lot of beef with that word as well, and I'll be very vocal about it. Raqs, you know, is dance in Arabic. Raqs al-Sharqi is dance of the East. I dance to what I feel, and I think I come off as Middle Eastern because that's just my particular style. I'm fine with the term belly dance from an industry perspective. I hate the name game. I do. I really, really do. I have a lot of old school cabaret in me. I have ATS training, whatever. I just say I'm a belly dancer. I'm a dancer, you know, just that's what I am.
Now, you've had that general skills certification from Carolina, right?
Yes, I have my general skills, and I also have a level 1 Tehala certification. I'm going to my level 2, hopefully, by the end of this year. I do at some point like to get my teacher training because I just want to go through that process with Carolina. I really do appreciate the aesthetic of ATS. It's not my passion, but I appreciate the aesthetic, and it's very unique, you know, coming from like a Middle Eastern background, it looks very different from what I'm used to, so it's interesting to learn.
You started training really young, and then you joined Awalem in, like, 2006.
Yeah, I actually, the first time Zia asked me to join the company, I had to say no because my father wouldn't let me dance in public. So I was actually dancing, and he was just nervous, you know, just having some, you know, like a daughter just dancing in public in general, mm-hmm. and that because of the stigma that belly dance has. And so it wasn't that he was like, oh, my daughter can't dance. Yeah. It was just he was concerned.
Right.
And so I actually joined the company probably like a year or two later after mm-hmm. that.
Were you born in the United States?
I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia.
Have you spent any time in Jordan?
I have. I've visited family. Family has come over here. My dad is one of eight, and we still have two aunts who are in Amman, and lots of family. A lot of family. The most recent time I was over there was in 2008 for about 2 weeks while I was studying Cairo at the time, so I went and did a vacation with my family up there. So,
are you bilingual?
I'm not fluent in Arabic. I really, really wish I were. It's funny because I spent 6 months in Cairo. I have an Egyptian accent, which my dad equivalents to like the southern redneck dialect of the Middle East. So my cousins make fun of me. So for example, in Jordan, you say kifik when you say, it's kind of like what's up, right? Well, in Egypt, they go izayik. My cousin would always like, oh, you mentioned that izayik, you know, like kind of making fun of me. You know, and I'd be like, oh, thanks, you know, poke on the poor American cousin who has a horrible accent. I understand these things.
While you were over there, either in Egypt or in Jordan, did you have an opportunity to attend any local community dance events?
They do not exist. So one of the things you have to realize about Cairo is that there's a stigma around belly dancers. Particularly the word cabaret, which is where I have a huge, and Morocco of New York has the same beef with the word cabaret. I'm pretty sure. I don't want to put words in her mouth. When you see a dancer in a quote-unquote cabaret, a lot of times she's like, it's a front for something. Like uh-huh. prostitution. Lord knows what these women have been pushed into. So a lot of the Middle Eastern dance style is connected to that over there. But at the same time, if you reach superstar status like Randa Kamal or Dina, Raya Hassan, whatever, oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Egyptians will call you beautiful. But they don't dance in the cabaret, they dance in shows. You know, it's different. And then the folkloric dance, you don't call a folkloric dancer a belly dancer either. Like, they take offense to that. I did participate. I was in the folklore troupe at the American University in Cairo. I took private lessons from a bunch of teachers. But I really focused on the music because there was no stigma around that, and I could really freely take lessons at the university. But seeking out the right people, like I actually, I had a private with Mahmoud Reda. I went to his studio, and that was an amazing experience. Diana Tarkan was another one. Took one with Rakia Hassan. But there really aren't shows. Like, mm-hmm. there's not, like, there are shows, like, Dina puts on a show. You go on the Nile boat, you see a show. But there really isn't a community. They're all professionals gigging mm-hmm. sort of thing. So it's different. It's different.
How do your Jordanian relatives feel about you dancing?
The ones who know?
Oh. Well, everyone over there listens to our podcast.
It's fine. I mean, like, we're a very modern family. We're not Muslim. We're Christian. So it's... My aunts know I dance. They've seen stuff. I've written about it, and they've seen that. They're okay with it, mm-hmm. I think. But it wasn't okay for a little while. Mm-hmm. That's why I actually go by my middle name, Anwar, as opposed to my last name.
Does your name translate to anything in Arabic?
It does. Majda means glorious, and Anwar, which is my father's name, it's tradition in at least Jordanian society. All children take their father's middle name just to kind of keep a lineage. If I were born in Jordan, I would have three middle names. That'd be my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and then my last name to kind of show the lineage. Mm-hmm. And Anwar means many bursts of light. So glorious bursts of light.
Hey!
It's kind of awesome.
Are there any additional certifications that you are interested in pursuing or are curious about?
There is a pro course that Yasmina Ramsey puts on every couple of years. I really respect what she's been doing. Yasmina Ramsey is a dancer out of, I think, Toronto, Canada. And this woman is a pioneer. She has her own 40-piece Middle Eastern orchestra. She puts on stage theatrical shows. She's the one who produces the belly dancer convention, the belly dance convention.
She's not with the Arabesque.
That's her dance company.
Oh,
Arabesque
okay.
Dance company. And I've had the pleasure of taking from her twice. She's performed in the Middle East. You know, she's been there, done that. I look up to her, and I really want to take from her class. One of the musicians that she also collaborates with, Dr. George Sewa, who's an amazing kanun player, and he has done academic research, and he's actually, his PhD is on Abbasid era Middle Eastern music, which is also something that I have a great passion for, Arabic music, and trying to, like, you know, recreate that, which is very difficult, by the way, because there's not a lot of documentation of songs, but I would love to be able to learn from him as well, so...
Now, you are also a teacher. How long have you been teaching?
Oh, Lordy. Maybe 2003, so about 8 years. Actually, I think Zia got me my first teaching gig. She shoved me over at a studio. She's like, you should do this. Okay, sure. I'm very proud to say that I feel that in my classes, I'm very aware of students' bodies, and I really have Donna Mejia to thank for that awareness. I think it's very, very important as a teacher you do a couple of things. Number one, you have to expose your students to the Middle Eastern culture. I don't care if you do tribal fusion or not. I'm very adamant about this. If you say you are a belly dancer, and if you want to say you fuse Middle Eastern dance styles with whatever, that belly dance aspect, you really need to have that cultural background and history, even if it's a little bit. If you hate it, fine. At least you know it, and you've been exposed to it. So the musicality, being able to teach your students how to play zills, my God, that's like the best way to enter into that whole foray of, well, what's a belly, what's a maksoum, you know, or what's this? So that aspect of it. And then also giving them the proper technique so that when they go to workshops for whoever style, they can keep up.
So you have done weekly classes?
I do. I've actually been teaching weekly classes at Georgia Tech for 5 years. Uh-huh. I started there when I was a freshman. Oh, longer. Ooh, 5008, so 6 years. I started in spring of 2005, and I teach semester classes actually at Georgia Tech in Atlanta, and I've taught a bunch of other places. But I love having students for an entire semester because I can really help them grow. And then they come back and they take in the spring and the summer, and I've had students for like 4 or 5 years that way, and I've just seen them grow. Actually, a couple of them are here. It made me so excited. They graduated and they come back to TribalCon, so it's been really cool to see that growth.
Now, when you are working in a workshop setting where you don't know the students, they're coming from all over and you have them for 2.5 hours.
Right.
What is the one or two things that you really want to make sure they leave that workshop knowing or being curious about?
Okay. I don't like to throw a lot of things at a workshop. I usually do like technique-based. My shimmy workshop comes up in particular because I really want to make sure that they leave with the idea of weighted versus unweighted motion and unchained motion. You know, very Suhaila school of thought. You know, you have the freedom to be able to put a shimmy on anything. The bigger concepts is what I want them to leave with. I try to expose people to very classical Arabic music when I do my workshops. So if someone's like, oh, what's that song? Oh, it's Abd al-Halim Hafez. It's great, you know. Try to give them a little bit of a cultural background, too, to kind of provide that.
Well, if you were going to give a must list, if you were talking to a baby belly dancer or somebody who maybe hasn't really investigated much about the Middle East and would like to get deeper into that, what are a couple of books or a couple of artists, musical artists, that you would really recommend?
Ooh, I love this question. So I would recommend, actually, George Sewa has a great series. It's Music Appreciation for Belly Dance. And it comes with, it's a DVD and a small booklet. Great. Highly recommend that. He talks a little bit about the maqam structure because the music theory in the Middle East is different than that of Western classical structure. I would also say, culturally, there's another great CD called 10 Songs a Belly Dancer Should Know.
I love that.
It's a great CD. It's a great starting point. I mean, some of the arrangements, you know, okay, but those are definitely songs every belly dancer should know. As far as books, there's a series of books by Zuhra Sharif, Zuhra something, but they're called Images of Enchantment and Colors of Enchantment. They're two volumes of essays about Tadib in the Middle East, and Tadib is musical enchantment. It's the idea of enchantment. And so there are articles about dancers, articles about music, specific types of music, singers, famous singers, and they're all short, so they're like little, you know, you can chew it over a couple of months period and not get overwhelmed. I'd also read the entire website of Shira.net. Just read it. If you haven't, go read it. That should keep you going for about, you know, 2 or 3 years.
If somebody was to go to the Middle East, what would be some recommendations or some things that you think they should know before they...
Okay, that's a great question. Up until this past month, I would say go to Cairo. The Middle East politically right now is definitely... It's in a rolling revolution right now, so I'm not sure how that plays into the performing arts scene. I hope and I pray that the performing arts can flourish, and if that's true... Hopefully that'll seep back more into the American belly dance scene, which would be amazing. Separate of that, you know, so if we're talking like, you know, a year ago, I would say go to Cairo, Egypt. Go not during Ramadan, because most of the teachers are out of the country because they can't get gigs during Ramadan. I would take from Rakia Hassan. I would take from Mahmoud Rida, if you could catch him. And you can do the tours. I didn't do the tours. I did something kind of unique. I studied over there. The tours might be a safe way to go because they, you know, they'll get you to the right people faster. I had to dig a little bit. While you were over there, I would go to as many concerts as you can because there are a ton of concerts everywhere. You know, listen to a Sufi band music with the mizmar and the, you know, the amazing Saidi style. Go to a higher art concert where you see a full Middle Eastern, you know, poetic movement happen. Go, you know, go on the Nile boat, see Randa Kamal, go see Dina. Normally, barring what has happened politically, you don't have time to take or can't find a teacher, just expose yourself to that music, to that dancing, because it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. Not as much as it was like in the 60s and 70s, but it's all there. So expose yourself to the music, I would say, more than expose yourself to the dancing.
Is there anybody that you would love to either share a stage with or play in a group with or just spend some time with?
It's really in the Southeast region?
Anywhere. The world.
The world.
We'll even go crazy. We'll say past or present.
We'll say, past or present. Oh,
yeah.
That would be Sir Hezeki. Like, without a doubt, her musicality makes me cry. I mean, she's still alive today, but, you know, she's retired from dance. But she was known for her musicality and picking, like, the right music. So... But right now, who am I the most excited to work with? Actually, I'm going to throw out to Aziz Nawal, who's actually in my dance company, because we both, you know, dork out on all these, like, amazing, you know, Egyptian dancers, singers, and music, and we've been wanting to actually do a collaboration like that for a long time, but we haven't yet. I would actually like to be able to get my my duet on one of my own company members right now, because we have lots of ideas. Everything from we're working on a drum solo duet to, we really want to do a Tunisian pot balancing dance that's more treble fusion in nature. And there's just so many things on the plate right now. I can't even think beyond this, like this little scope, because everything just takes so much time.
Is there anything that you would like to share with our listening audience that you've been thinking about a lot lately?
And I think it's probably become very obvious in this interview. I am a huge proponent of Arabic music, Arabic Middle Eastern music, whether it's Turkish, Persian, Arabic, whatever. I'm not disappointed, but in the tribal fusion genre, I think a lot of newer students don't have that exposure that they would if they went to the cabaret class. Once you start getting into the depths of that sort of music, you just fall in love with it. And just a little exposure, I think, would just do a lot for the fusing audience. And what's interesting is that some of my favorite, absolute favorite dancers in the tribal genre had that sort of training. That background, I think, just helps. Just really, really helps your dancing.
What is your opinion on dancers dancing to more Arabic pop music as opposed to the more orchestral?
Oh, that's fine. I think it's fine. It's fun. I do it all the time. Again, it's part of the culture. So especially those dancers who work the restaurant scene, you know, if you're lucky enough to dance at a place where there is, you know, a Middle Eastern audience, they're going to expect that, you know, that that's part of the culture, and it keeps you connected with that culture. Because I think a lot of times in the fusion genres, we kind of step away from that and aren't exposed to it as much. But those restaurant dancers who really act as our ambassadors of our art form are on it and kind of keep current, I think. And I think it's very important.
Okay. Well, our last question, as always, is would you give us your best yip?
Oh, okay. Just a yip? Or
you could also do a Zagreet. Some people feel more comfortable with a Zagreet.
Okay, I'll do a Zagreet.
Thank you so much for coming on Yip Podcast. It was lovely to talk to you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
And that was Majda Anwar.
I really like that whole story with her family making fun of her.
Funny. Like when she said that the Egyptian dialect was like the Deep South. That's hilarious. You know, I just didn't think about that.
Yeah, so yeah, I like her. I like her a lot. And I really like her dancing, like I said earlier.
And I like her name, Glorious Burst of Light. Isn't that pretty?
It is. It is.
So, she's a superstar and she is going places. And, I mean, she does a lot of stuff in the Southeast, obviously. Because that's where she lives. But if you ever get a chance to take a workshop from her, definitely do it. She's got awesome things to teach.
All right, cool. Do you have more music for us?
Yes. So we are going to delve into the second CD of Harkomania now. And the second CD is called Star of the Sea. Again, awesome little booklet comes with it. And this one's a little more like...
It's pretty.
It's pretty. It's got colors and starfishes on it. Because it's called Star of the Sea. It's a theme. Did you get the theme, Tammy?
I get it.
It's a theme. We are going to be hearing my favorite three songs, and I hope you like them too, listeners out there. We're going to hear Salva Nos Puernatus. We're going to hear Ramwald's Return and Moreno Mi Yaman. It's a double L, like llama. Yama. And again... Awesome liner notes. Like, it's so cool. I'm going to read you just a teeny bit from Salva Nos Puernatus because it's really, really interesting and it bears on the name of the CD. So, the Anglo-Norman song Salva Nos was written around 1250. The chorus is translated, Save Us, Star of the Sea and Queen of Heaven, and it's a prayer to Mary. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, is that why you like that song?
I think they were talking about, like, Mary, Mother of God. It's not, like, my song because I was not alive. In 1250. Thank you, Tammy. I am not a vampire. So I wish you would stop saying that in public.
I stand in the sun. All right.
It's interesting to note that the epithet Star of the Sea was given to deities such as Aphrodite, Demeter, and Ashtoreth. It's just interesting. They have so much interesting stuff. You're like, oh, that's really interesting. Talented and cerebral.
Aw, just like you.
Thanks, Tammy. And it comes in a super cute CD case thing. It's cute, right, Tammy?
It is cute.
It's like a puzzle. So here we go. Three songs we're going to hear. Salva Nos, Rummel's Return, and Moreno Me Llaman. Tammy. Tell me your thoughts. Tell me where you are. What are you thinking?
Well, I really like the Renald's return.
Close. Rumwald's return. Rumwald's. I don't know if I was any closer. Rumwald's return.
We practiced that earlier today.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't know the song was like 9 minutes long.
Awesome song. But we danced for like 8 minutes before we were like, this is, I'm tired. I'm tired, Timmy. Can we stop now? But perfect. Perfect tempo for ATS. Yeah. Great beat. The first one. The one about me, my song. This is a really great lilting melody. Good beat. Obviously, you just heard it. And the third one's just beautiful. I love that one. Okay, so it's been a little while since our event Propapalooza, but we wanted to give you guys the skinny on it really quick and just let you know how it went. I think it went really well.
It did. You are correct.
Thank you, Tammy. We've got a couple comments about the lack of live streaming after we were like, we're going to be live streaming parts of it. We didn't want to live stream the whole thing because then why did people buy a ticket to go do it? And we didn't want to worry about, you know, waivers for dancers and...
Yeah,
stuff.
People who wanted to be recorded, people who didn't want to be recorded.
Oh, the drama. You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Jeez. Basically, more work for Mary and I. And
yeah,
we just
we're
thought,
lazy.
Yeah, so. Why didn't we just live stream pieces that we don't have to worry about that?
Exactly.
So that's what we did. So it's actually on ustream.tv, and you can type in your podcast and look up parts of our event. Our executive producer, Dan, he taped us and made commentary and interesting stuff.
But it went really well. Everybody who showed up to support, you guys are so awesome. I just had the greatest time. It felt like it was a really happy event. Like, I felt everybody had a good time. We did a open ATS thing.
So awesome.
Which was, like, so much fun. We were like, I don't know if it's going to work, but if it does, it'll be super cool. So everybody who knew ATS or at least had some kind of foundation in improv kind of got together, and Dan played a song, and you were like dancing with one or two other people, and then whenever I screamed, I like bellowed, "Switch!" You had to find somebody else to dance with really quick. I had a great time.
It was so awesome. It was a lot of dancing and a lot of fun and a lot of laughter.
Yes.
And a lot of, who am I dancing with next?
I know, and they're like, oh, and Tammy, who did you meet while we were doing open ATS?
I met Sunshine.
Yeah.
We were dancing, and I didn't know who she was, and she's like, hi, you're Tammy. I'm like, yeah. She goes, I'm Sunshine. I'm like, oh, hey. We just continued dancing. It was fun.
Sunshine's in the group, Melodic Masai from Davie, Florida. And she came up with her troop members, including their troop leader, Lee. And we were super excited to see him at the Hofla because I've been talking to him. And they said they weren't going to be coming in to the Hofla. They said they were going to be coming in the early morning and like driving punch drunk all the way up there. Before we wrap up our little wrap up, I wanted to make sure we mentioned all the awesome people who donated stuff to our raffle because that was great. The raffles were a lot of fun. So thank you to the following: Johanna and Hip Expressions and Kiryusu Creations. Both of them were our awesome vendors, and both of them donated to the raffle / online auctions. Lisa Stern of Trademark Equestrian Center, Laura Barslow, our Makeup Maven, and Beachcombers Bazaar donating for a beauty package of awesomeness,
which Carol won and has already used.
Oh my god. Beachcombers also donated an online gift certificate, which Sarah Kate in Seattle got, and they also offered free henna for anyone participating in the performances the week before, which was super nice of them. So thank you, Jody and Esib. Tara from Flipside Creations donated a beautiful some beautiful jewelry, including this pendant that had like a tree on it, like wire wrap tree. So cool. Sat Comedy Lab. Tammy's friends, Hazel and Gail, donated some great jewelry and some theme park tickets. Or no.
Yeah, water theme park tickets and Macy's gift cards.
And Macy's gift cards. Nice. Phoenicia, who was one of our workshop instructors, donated a DVD. Tammy donated an ATS lesson. Yep. I donated a Yip bag. Tammy's husband and our executive producer, Dan, donated his time as his alternate ego, Dan Bot.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. And thank you, Matt, for being a good sport. Special thanks go out to Zambica, Kit from Canada. I can't just say Kit. I always have to say Kit from Canada. I like alliteration.
I was going to say, alliteration is your thing. So.
I know, it is. So Zambica, Kit from Canada, and Naima from Naima's Ballet Dance blog, all three of them mailed something for our raffle. And Kit got it in right after, like, the postal strike was going on, and he was like, I'm going to try to get it to you, but no one wants to take it. So Kit and Naima mailed it over, and Zambica mailed her foundation's book one directly to the winner of the raffle. So it's so much, so much love from everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody who donated and supported. That was really awesome.
And then I also want to just thank Urban Rethink, who let us have our event at their location, which is lovely. Virgin Olive for being there, because their food was delicious and they had drinks.
Thank you.
And then
everybody's happier.
And then also Center for Dance for letting us use their space for our workshops.
Yeah, it was a beautiful space and they were so nice and they just let us do our thing and didn't hover. It was nice.
Yes, I liked it a lot.
It was a great event. We had a great time. So there it is. That's our Prop-a-Palooza recap. It was really, really fun. We're glad we did it.
Nice.
And big thanks to Phoenicia and Deanna for being our awesome workshop instructors.
It was so good.
It was. So thanks again. And now, Tammy, what's going on around town?
Well, Mary, September 8th through the 11th in Las Vegas, Nevada is the Belly Dance Intensive and Festival. Ariella will be there, Christina King, Jill Parker, and plenty of other people. And they'll be having, I'm sure, drinkies and that kind of stuff because it's Vegas. Maybe there's gambling going on. Like, let's bet who can last the longest in some of these classes. I don't know. I've never been to a workshop in Vegas.
One day we'll go.
I think we're going to go to a lot of places. September 23rd through the 25th in Birmingham, Alabama, Devi Ani is hosting Kalina Shakti.
Shakti.
It sounds like a really cool workshop. Also, that same weekend, September 23rd through the 25th in London, is Shimmy in the City. So they're going to have, Jelena will be teaching workshops, Anasma, Khalid. So there's lots of people teaching workshops out there in London.
That makes me think of that song, Summer in the City. Hot town, shimmy in the city. Back of my neck, getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity?
Sweet.
Doesn't seem to be a belly dancer in the city. I changed some of the words.
Anyway, you can find out about all these events by going through their links, and you can find those links on our website, www.yippodcast.com. You can also join our email list, which is also on our website, and you just click the little button that says join email list. Mary looks like she's passing out on me. You can send us an email at email@yippodcast.com. I couldn't get the word out. Let's try that again. Told you I couldn't speak. It was like somehow my sentence stopped and I couldn't go any further. And I was trying. It was like a dream where you're running away slowly and whatever's chasing you is speeding up. And you want to run faster, but you can't. That's what that sentence was like.
Wow. That was deep for one little verbal slip.
So anyway, you could send us an email at email@yippodcast.com. You can Skype us at yippodcast or call us at 321-441-3933. You can go to our tribe at tribes.tribe.net/yippodcast, and you can join our Facebook group. So with all that being said, kind of, sort of, this episode of Yip Podcast, this is Tammy.
And this is Mary.
Yip.
Stumbled over my name. Tammy, enough drivel.
Okay, I'll stop.
All you do is talk. We never get anything done. Are you playing with the drum app?
No,
because... Put your phone down.
I'm not playing with the drum app.
What are you doing?
I'm just playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, I'm going to take your phone if you don't put it away. That is so tacky. Can I get a hello? Hello?
We are listening to music. I can't play Angry Birds while we're listening to music.
No, you need to focus 100%. Jeez, ADHD.
I do, for real.
She's a phenomenal dancer, fantastic performer, great musician, and you are going to really enjoy this interview.
We'll talk to you later.
I'm going to cut that out.
I'm like, you totally didn't need to say anything else afterwards.
I can't control myself. Oh my gosh. I think I'm hitting on our audience. Hey, how you doing?
And you're totally going to give me your number after this.
I know. Did it hurt?
Oh, my God.
When you fell from heaven.
Huh, audience? Huh? Huh? What are you wearing? Email us. Let us know.
What move are you doing right now?
Hi-oh.